This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by Starcrossed Volume 1, available for pre-order now on Indiegogo.com. Starcrossed Volume 1 is the first collection of Starcrossed comics by me, Joel Duggan. With over 80 pages of comics and content, the book is a must-have for Starcrossed fans. The pre-order packages have lots of extra goodies, including Starcrossed swag, sketches, and original comic strip artwork. All of the funds raised in the pre-order process will be used to print and ship the first edition of the book, so go out and get your copy today and help make Starcrossed Volume 1 a success. For more information, visit Indiegogo.com/StarCrossedVolume1.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 33, recorded live, albeit a little bit late, on September 5th, 2012. I am Joel Duggan of StarCrossedOnline.com. To my right is Mr. Peyton Francis of CardboardTreehouse.com. Mr. Francis, how are you doing this evening?
All right. Good stuff. Excellent. Yes, thanks for having me in, guys. Sorry I'm late.
It's actually not Peyton's fault that we're late. It's mine. Lots of stuff going on. To my other right is Chad Merlin, the one and only. And the only thing that you need to know about Chad is that you don't need to know anything about Chad. Chad, what is going on, sir?
What's up?
You so street?
Yeah. Nothing more is going on? That's it? That's all? That's all. All right. He's done.
I picture you driving a white neon and just throwing gang signs.
Red.
With like purple, right. With okay, purple okay, underneath so. It?
I had a purple Cavalier. Does that
I
count?
Do. That's why. Why is it purple?
And I had a blue Civic. Does that make me street too?
Did it have like blue neon underlights? Because that would have been super.
And giant pipes and bomb.
Yeah. A car, a little Civic that goes by. It sounds like a Harley. That's just. What
hey, I could chirp it going into second.
Nice. Oh boy. If anybody still listening is new to the Citadel Cafe. This is where we three come to hang out and talk about the geeky things that we have been into lately. We gravitate towards geeky, sci-fi, fantasy stuff, but we're not narrow-minded. We expand our horizons from time to time, covering anything from movies, television, to books, apps, and websites. And this week, I have an announcement. I have ironed out all of the final details, and my book, not an app, not a website, not a movie or a television show, at least not yet, Starcrossed Volume 1 is going to be available this week via Indiegogo. In paper.
Dead trees? Sweet.
Dead trees, yep.
Awesome.
Yep. The dead trees are among us, or will be. I'm still going through the last legs of setting up the Indiegogo page, but it's all set to go. I'm essentially 99% ready to pull the trigger. I just need a second pair of eyes to go over it tomorrow, Jocelyn. And make sure that I didn't make any spelling mistakes or do anything crummy like that.
Yeah.
Make sure all my links are working because I've been staring at this stuff for weeks. I need to make sure that it's all just the way that it needs to be. And it should be Indiegogo.com/StarCrossedVolume1. And that one is the numeral one, not spelled out. Just StarCrossed Volume 1. I'm sure if you do a Google search for that, or if you follow me on Twitter or follow my blog, I'm sure that it'll be linked to high heaven all over the interwebs when it launches. And it's going to go for about a month, and all of the money raised will go towards printing the book. And there's going to be lots and lots of cool rewards for different levels of funding. The way that Indiegogo works is very similar to any other crowdfunding site where, you know, you have different tiers of rewards that you give for people that donate a certain amount to help you complete your goal. So that is all going to be outlined on the site. And I really want to encourage anybody that visits to drop me a line if you have any questions about shipping or when you're going to get it or what the different packages entail, because I've spent so long planning this book and planning this project that I know all of it. I think I've come up with all the details.
I have a question.
You do.
Does it actually come by a ship?
In some cases, actually, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, funny story about the shipping. Shipping is expensive. In order to
or
get
can be, yeah.
Yeah, in order to get the best of both worlds, I had to divide some of the shipping between actual ships for overseas stuff and airmail. And there's going to be a handy table to help people figure out exactly how long it's going to take to get to them, depending on where they are. And obviously, people overseas that order from North America are probably used to shipping costs and shipping times. But just in case you're not, that's all going to be outlined. And like I said, I've looked into every avenue. I don't care whether you live in China, Australia, or Chile. I can get the book to you. And I know how much it costs and probably how much it weighs. It's been a little bit too much time in spreadsheets for an artist over the last couple of weeks.
Nice.
So the brain is kind of done. But to break from all of this work that I've been doing, I am...
Starcross Volume 1 available on Indiegogo?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? The break
work.
From that. Okay.
That work. Yes, that okay. work. Yes, that, okay. that work.
Starcross Volume 1 Indiegogo.
Yeah, in other words, my first book, which is very, very exciting. It's going to be super cool to hold that in my hands when it finally comes out. But I've been spending my downtime crunching more numbers, ironically, on the WoW auction house.
Still playing
Warcraft and still enjoying it. But now I am part of a guild.
Yes.
Applause.
Good stuff.
The heavens open up and the light shines upon me. I am now part of AIE Invictus. So hello, Invictus. I'm here. and everybody that has been aware of it, that I've been putting out on Twitter and stuff, have been tweeting me and saying welcome and all that kind of stuff. It's been very cool to actually have a bunch of people, just kind of strangers, walking up to you in game or people mentioning stuff and just saying, hey, welcome. Like, what's new? Do you have any questions? Like, how can I be of assistance to get you accommodated into the guild? So it's been very, very welcoming. I'm excited to see where it goes. If anybody out there is curious, AIE stands for Alea Iacta Est, which translates to the die is cast.
I thought it was Alea lactates to the east. My Latin's not that great.
Well done, sir.
So she has twins, one of them starves.
Oh my god.
I can't see.
So she's a barista. She only works on one side of the caffeine. I see. Okay.
All right. Oh man. Okay.
I'll be here all week.
Yes. Yeah, he says that, and the next week he's probably working nights. And
I am working.
Yeah.
No, I will be here next week. Victory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of victory, Invictus in Latin actually means unconquered. And the reason why Invictus is tagged on at the end of AIE is because the guild is the largest guild in World of Warcraft.
Awesome.
And it is so big that it breaks the rules that Blizzard has put into space and had to break the guild up into originally 9 co-guilds, all of which have a different subname. Now it's 11. They've just started 2 new chapters, 2 new co-guilds for AIE. And I happen to be in Invictus. Jocelyn and I did a little bit of research with people that we know from the Frog Pants Network, which is what this guild is made up of. It's the Instance and the Frog Pants Network Community Guild. And I'm sure there's other people out there. I mean, God, there's thousands of people in this guild. So it's a vast expanding universe or company or whatever you want to call it. I'm still new to guildy stuff, so if I'm using the wrong terminology, all the gamers out there are going to have to forgive me. It's really neat to see the social side of World of Warcraft, because I've played before, but I've always kind of soloed the game. I've grouped up with people, but they've always been just kind of strangers online. So it's going to be really fun to be in Invictus with some of the people we already know from the Frogpants community, which is going to be interesting when we get into like dungeon raids and things like that. So it'll be adding one more layer to the, what did you call it last week, Peyton? The Saturday night road trip?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where things are going. So Peyton, what's new with you? How have things been around the Francis household this week?
Oh, been busy. This weekend we managed to put in another 6 more windows into the house here.
Wow.
Replaced them and all that stuff, so that was fun. They were on the second floor, so we had to put up 4 levels of staging 3 times.
Oh.
Around the house. So that was fun as well. And Yeah, so that brings the grand total of 19 windows you put in the past year and a half on the property, with another 13 to go.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so so that's fun. Among with that and everything else going on around here, you know, we had a new roof put in on the rental unit about a month ago, and at the same time we took down about 4 pickup loads of branches from the trees around the property, because they were like basically entangled in all the power lines and everything. Oh, and so that all had to come down, and then we had a big wood chipper up to take that stuff away. And I finally got a chance to mow the lawn the other day, and I hit a rock and tore a big chunk at the bottom of the lawnmower, so now she's rattling. I got that fixed, and then I get the radiator and the old car fixed, and you know, the new car payment's starting to come out. So yeah, it's yeah, things are going well. So, but that's life, you know, it's good.
The engaging life of a homeowner.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Some people complain about renting and stuff, but, you know, at the same time, well, you know, you haven't got to shovel the driveway or worry about any of that foolishness.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, but, you know, the boy's doing better. He's feeling better, and, you know, Lee's feeling better, and I'm feeling better, and it's all coming together. I'm working on a proposal for a project that hopefully will turn into something, and I'm shopping around for some office space and stuff like that too. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. If something comes of that, you'll have to at length on the show, because
I'm definitely going to be putting a work in progress section on the blog, so people can follow the progress of things and stuff. But it's yeah, if it comes through, it'll be an interesting thing. And if it doesn't come through, I'll talk about it later anyway. So
yeah, sounds
and
good.
And Chad, what's new with you, Chad? What's going on?
I made a little purchase for approximately $25.
What'd you get?
I walked into Future Shop there a couple days ago. And, I mean, you guys have been tweeting me about the Yeti on sale at Costco for like $100, right?
Which is
a really good deal, because normally it's like $125. So I walked into Future Shop and looked down on their discount table where they place everything that's waiting for, you know, people that have opened packages or, you know, waiting to take them home like adopted puppies, more or less. And there was a Blue Mike snowball just sitting there in a box. And, yeah, it was $25.
Sweet.
$75 off. The box was just a mess, and it was missing the instructions. But all the cables were all still originally wrapped in their plastic with their ties still on them. No scratches or any damage whatsoever on the actual product. And to solve the no directions, it's a PDF file. You can open at any time from the website. So I think I made a pretty good score. Joel said I sounded decent at the beginning of tonight. So I think that's pretty good. Yeah. But other than that, you know, with creating a new life. And all the things that are associated with it in my life, it kind of makes for interesting times, you know? So I'm going through that right now.
Oh, yeah?
As well. There's all kinds of little things happening and stuff.
You're going through it, but she's going through it.
Yeah.
So,
I'm the symbiote, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, And also, I mean, like we said, it's the 5th of September, and yesterday was the 4th of September, and I live in Quebec, and I don't know if you guys had seen any on the news or anything of what happened last night.
Oh, yes.
In Quebec, and oh, my goodness, it's crazy. And it's just, I hate politics. I really do. And in a time and place where we should be coming together more on earth, you know, not to get all, like, political mushy-gushy myself, but, like, in a time where we should be coming together as a world, you know, to combat our problems, because we want to start reaching out and touching places, you know, like, outside of our a little globe here. Well, you know, now there are things going on about letting go and moving on from and separating and stuff. It's horrible.
You're going to have to fill me in, because I don't watch the news.
Okay.
And I'm going to bet that most of our listeners don't know what you're talking about either. So
Quebec, yeah, no.
Some sort of referendum again?
No. They had a provincial election. For the political party, which is, like, you know, basically for our American friends, like your state government, for our provincial government, you know, that the provincial level, and the person that won the election by a minority vote, which is never good, by, like, you know, they came into power, and the party that came into power is, you know, against basically this nation as a whole, and they don't want to be part of it. So, It by no means says that the people that voted for them want to separate, but it's one of the party's staples
It's good saber rattling, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, with that said, just as the leader, who is actually the first female premier of the province, as she's celebrating, some guy, lunatic, walks in with an AK-47 and starts opening up. And he ended up killing one poor bystander that was with the technical crew for the sight and sound of the event. And another person was injured. The cops got him, you know, no shots fired, you know, professional that they were. They subdued him and everybody was safe after that. But how ridiculous does that get, you know?
Yeah. Like,
unbelievable.
I didn't know that at all. I thought you were just going to tell me about an election story. I didn't realize there was violence to precede it. It's like we're living in, I don't know, I was going to say America, but people would probably agree.
No, yeah. There's been a
lot of weapon issues in the States, and it's just the first thing that comes to mind is when I hear about gun violence, I immediately think America. So,
unfortunately, yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that I think that all of my American friends are gun-toting lunatics.
And they're not.
Lunatics. Exactly. My American friends are crazy, and I love them for it, but it's unfortunate that you make that association, eh?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. But, so this guy, anyway, he was wearing a bathrobe and a balaclava, for God's sake, so what are you going to do?
An AK-47, I would think it's not that easy to come by in Canada, because it's like a restricted weapon, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It has a 30-round magazine, which is number one right then and there, illegal. Yeah. The caliber isn't illegal because it is Russian originally, but it's, I want to say, it's technically a decent hunting round. So I have nothing against hunting rifles, but how this guy got it, God knows. I mean, how do they get it anytime?
Yeah.
You know, if they want it bad enough, they'll get it. So,
yeah.
Whatever. It's his life. I mean, look. Whatever, we can sit here and discuss this stuff all till we're red, blue in the face, and it's not going to change one thing. People are still going to do what they want to do.
Once you become a father, you'd be thinking about this shit a lot more too.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I've always had people ask me like, why are you still in Halifax? Why are you still in Nova Scotia trying to do what you do? Like, shouldn't you be in California or Florida trying to get into Disney or some other larger cartoon entity like New York Cartoon Network? I mean, most of this was happening back when I was still working in animation full time. And I mean, my response was always like, I don't know when I'm going to settle down, but I can tell you right now, I don't want to raise kids in the US. And it's because of the violent crime and stuff like that you see all the time just kind of makes me standoffish to raising kids in the US compared to Canada. I'm biased. I'm Canadian. I grew up here. You know, like I have no experience other than vacations in the U.S. So it's just, but I've had other friends. My friend Jillian, for example, she lives in Pennsylvania now, I think. Bethlehem, I think, is where she is. And she, you know, she likes it there, but it's small town USA, which is very Canada. Like it feels more like home. And I know from a lot of my Canadian friends that have gone down there for school or for any length of time, they always settle home. And I don't mean necessarily back here in Nova Scotia. Sometimes it's BC, sometimes it's Calgary, but they always come back to Canada when they want to get married and have kids and raise families.
Well, the healthcare thing for me would be the big one. Like,
well, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, when my wife got sick after our son was born, like that would have bankrupted us. People would have lost the house and everything in the States, right? So
yeah. Well, and the other thing too with this separation nonsense that we're going through, a lot of people really have said that, you know, hey, what about my house? Because these are hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of investments, and now, you know, what if they did leave? The people just can't. They have to stay in Canada for whatever reason. If I can't even begin to remember some of the reasons that they were giving, but you know, your house is going to drop by $200,000 because when you separate like that, you're going to lose people before you're going to start gaining them again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, well, anyway, it's.
Yeah, when the housing market crashed, a friend of mine living in Sapporo in Japan, he said the house he's living in, when the guy built it for $360. And then when my buddy bought it off the fella, he got it for
$60. Wow. Man, yeah. And you know how many times I've heard that story now coming out of some locations down in the US and Not so much in Canada, but there have been stories in Canada that, you know, houses are losing their value. Like, it's so sad. Yeah.
Jocelyn was just telling me the other day she had read an article online about the value of a square foot in a house across the country and how it changes from Newfoundland to, you know, wherever, and how much X amount of dollars is going to get you. You know, you spend like $300,000 or $350,000 in Newfoundland and you own a ranch.
Yeah, you own a big property. Yeah.
You know, and then you spend that in Toronto. And you own a postage stamp, you know, in part of a building, you know, with a balcony, maybe, you know, like just it's really it was really interesting to see that flux. And Halifax was not at the bottom, but it was in the lower third. Like it was kind of like Newfoundland. And then I want to say probably maybe Labrador or Quebec because it's got so much northern territory. And then Halifax was number seven or maybe number six as terms of as the housing market rose in value. Like it was interesting to see how it, you know, spent. I mean, obviously there was no surprises in Toronto or Vancouver. Like they were basically one and two, right?
I think the housing market in Halifax in particular is probably a little more stable than most places because we have, we don't have any manufacturing here for the most part, like large scale manufacturing, like, you know, Southern Ontario and whatnot. So most of our stuff here is service based, you know, education and things of that nature, government, what have you. And, you know, those industries are pretty stable for the most part, you know, government is government and, you know, kids are always going to go to school. So, and, if people, you know, so it's not like, you know, when the recession hit, you know, we were a little more insulated, I think, than say, you know.
You're right, Peyton.
You know, Southern Ontario, what have you, right? So, like, I know at one point before the recession hit, you know, friends of mine had a property and their property rose, I think, about 11% annually in value for about 10 years. Wow. So, that's a pretty good return on your investment. You know, if you got something like that going on for a while, now it's not the same anymore, but it's probably going up, you know, 2 or 3%, but still it's growth, right? So,
Peyton, you must have noticed from friends back home or family and stuff, because I know in Cape Breton about 10, 15, years ago, a lot, you know, when the oil sands, the tar sands, let's call it what it is, out in northern Alberta, when that boom hit out and everybody left from out east to go out west and they made their money and they moved back, there was housing booms. I know in places like Sydney and Nova Scotia where the housing was down for what you'd spend, what, $200,000 in Halifax, people were selling for $30,000 in Sydney because there was nothing, there's nobody buying. They were gone. They were done, right? So, like, people were coming back and buying their parents' house because it was so cheap, you know. And the, you know, and they started a small housing boom because of that. And it's all, I think, from what I understand now, it's all leveled out now. But
yeah, I think so. I know at one point a couple of years ago, it was a house down a road from where my mother is now living that went for $13,000.
Wow!
And I was like, you know, two story salt box style house, but an acre and a half of land, everything in the house. They had the people who owned it had nine kids, and those nine kids are now in their 50s.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And they were maintaining this place as a summer home, you know, and it cost them about $9,000 a year to for the upkeep and everything. And between the kids, they're all throwing you know the grand a piece or whatever. But then eventually, they got rid of it, right? But I know you got a place like Gander, you know, closer where I'm from, and you know, the houses there are going for, you know, $200,000 for a bungalow now. And, you know, 10 years ago, it was much less than that. And what's happened is you got all these people going out west, but they're, you know, their spouses and kids are all staying home. So they're coming back with, you know, the perception they got a ton of money. And then they go in and they build these houses to keep up with the guy next door to them. And then, you know, whatever. It's just kind of short-sighted, I think. You know, you don't need to build a house that's too big for your needs just to say, look what I got, right?
Yeah.
That's foolishness. Anyway, I'm an old crotchety man. Get off my lawn. Anyway, back to the sci-fi and the entertainment. What's this housing market and politics? It's not all about it.
We're not myopic, Peyton.
No. Yes. Yeah. See? True.
Yes. This is true.
Yeah. Well, on a lighter note, I didn't really have much time to watch stuff this week. However, what I did have time for, I was remarkably in the mood for. Which was stand-up comedy, not something I normally do. Peyton, it's usually your bag. But I watched Louis C.K. Chewed Up on Netflix with Gosling.
He's awesome.
And I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I knew he was funny. I knew I liked him. I've heard more about him because of his entrepreneurial I guess, exploits lately in what he's doing with his own work and being independent of certain regular channels that comedians have to go through or had to go through and kind of cutting his own path. And he was freaking hilarious in a way that I wasn't expecting. I've seen him on Leno for like, 5 minutes or on Letterman. But I feel like this was, I want to say earlier in his career, I guess. But the whole thing was dedicated to George Carlin, which made sense because of how awkward you feel in the first 5 minutes of this comedy trip, to the point where like we had the stereo pretty loud and it was a Saturday night or a Friday night, so we didn't really care. Then we started to turn it down a little bit because of the stuff that he was saying and the words that he was using, and because it was doing its job. I mean, he was making you feel uncomfortable, but then pointing out all of these social memes through your uncomfortable humor and trying to illustrate a point. And it was very, very well done. I really, really enjoyed it. And I have not laughed that hard since I watched Eddie Murphy Raw for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Also on Netflix, by the way. Yeah. That's on my to-do list as well. And the thing that caught Jocelyn and I off guard were the sex jokes. Things about, like, he's talking about co-eds and saying, like, no, don't, like, I don't like girls. I don't want to sleep with girls. I want women, like, I want a woman like my wife, with a little gray hair here. She's sexy as hell, and then he just kind of stops himself. He goes, yeah, okay, I'm lying. I totally would sleep with you. Like, he just, the stuff of him going back and forth between the co-eds.
Yeah, he talks about the difference between girls gone wild and women gone wild. He's like, women don't go wild. That's why you don't see those TV shows. Like, you try to take a picture of a 40-year-old woman and she'll kill you. Right? When girls go wild, they have a couple of drinks to take off their clothes. Women go wild, they kill people.
They kill people, yeah.
they drown people in the tub.
Anyway, it was really, really good. It's totally worth the, I want to say it's about an hour, maybe a little bit more. And it was, I was sore the next day from laughing so hard. It didn't help that Jocelyn had the giggles. She was laughing at stuff and then I was laughing at stuff, but I'd be half laughing at her. Because she'd be losing her mind on the couch. And I can't, it's funny how I remember laughing so hard that I couldn't breathe, but I don't remember what it was that he said that sent me over the edge. Because it wasn't like a really big punchline. It was just one of these little things that he kind of snuck in there on the side after having you rolling. And I just lost it. I don't know what it was that he snagged me with, but it just certainly worth checking out. And also something that you could probably multitask with, because I mean, you don't have to watch him. Like, he's just as funny. Listening to him, he does a couple of looks at the audience and stuff like that, but he certainly doesn't rely on a camera to be funny. It's very not scripted in the fact that he's following it precisely, but it's very verbally planned and well executed.
It takes him about a year to craft one of these specials. He's following the Carlin way of doing it as well, so he writes his material and then throws it out and then starts over again. And And he was saying how he, one of the things, I think, might have been on the Talking with 20 People, the show I mentioned last week. Anyway, he was talking about, the mic working there? Sorry. Anyway, he was talking about how he would take his strongest bit that he used to end with, and he would open with that on his next show, which would totally screw him over. So,
okay. He got
better and better and better.
Yeah, we talked about him talking about Carl in there last week or 2 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah. Anyway, it's worth checking out. He also there's a series of put on by the Independent Film Channel a couple years ago called Dinner for Five. And that's what I've been watching this week, and he appears on one of those episodes, and it's John Favreau. He hosts a dinner at a restaurant, and there's film crew and all that stuff there. But he has like four guests, and they all sit around. And they talk about basically the business and what they do and stuff. And one of them, I think Louis C.K. is there. And again, they're talking about the behind the scenes stuff and that. It's pretty interesting stuff to check out. So if you want something else to watch while you're doing stuff, Dinner for Five. It's a couple years old. It's probably 2003, 2005. So it sort of predates podcasts and stuff. It would totally be a podcast now, but anyway, it's worth checking out. There's a bunch of it, like two or three seasons of it. So it's worth checking out for sure.
Cool.
Right on.
So what else have you been watching?
Pretty much that, MasterChef, Hell's Kitchen, stuff like that off the iPad. I enjoy cooking, and it's fun to watch. So.
Cool.
Yeah. And a little backyard against, you know.
Oh, hey, right on. Yeah,
I was poking for a kid show. I was trying to figure out what kid show Ewan was into this week.
Yeah, he's still into the backyard against things. He picks the most random thing from the particular episode that he wants to watch. So it'll be like, you know, cheese. And there's a robot. There's an episode where there's a robot, and then there's a photographer who works for a newspaper, takes a picture of the robot. When he takes a picture, he says cheese. But everybody thinks the robot wants to eat cheese, but he wants to get his picture taken. Anyway, it's pretty silly. But it's interesting to challenge when the grandparents are watching him, because he's saying he wants to watch cheese, and they have no idea what he's talking about. He didn't cover it in the little, like, welcome to babysitting 101 pamphlet that we leave for them. And he's losing his mind, having like a stage 4 meltdown, right?
Cheese!
Anyway, he's a funny kid.
Oh man, that's.
I weighed him the other day, and he's 42 pounds.
Wow.
42 pounds, 40 inches, 2.5.
42 pounds of cheese.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cheese.
So I went to a massage therapist a little while ago there, and she's like, "You working out? Cause your shoulders getting defined." I'm like, "No, not always him. That's what it is, carrying him around all the time." Because I have not been working out other than, you know, putting food in my face. But, yeah.
Well, food is heavy. 42 pounds of cheese is heavy.
Especially the way I eat.
Yeah. Yeah, repetition, right? It's all about reps. High reps. High reps are good, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Chad, what's been on your screen this week?
I was thinking, well, hey, I wasn't here last week. And I started panicking. Oh, my God, I haven't watched anything. But then I started writing it down. I went, oh, shit, I've watched a fair amount. I finally started watching Homeland.
Oh,
finally.
Oh,
yeah. Holy crap, man.
So good.
12 episodes. We've watched 11. We have the series season finale comes. We're going to watch right after the podcast. I think as long as my wife's still awake, and, cause we're an hour later. Remember that?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, you said some really great things about it. So I finally got a chance, and I really got to say, I'm really happily surprised, you know, like it's fun. It's fun to follow it along, you know, like, I really enjoyed it. I was just on IMDb tonight, just checking out some of the stars. And then, the guy who plays Saul, like the mentor for Claire Danes' character.
Yes, sir.
I had no idea. Oh, like, really? I think you brought this up before. You brought this up, I think, before that it was the guy from Princess Bride, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then I went, oh my God. You know, where have you been since then? And then there he was, you know, and you don't even see that at all.
You know what? I don't think I finished the first season, which is awful because I really like the show. But I have been watching the first season since Kurt, my roommate last year that came in around October. He and I were watching it because he was always around. His wife was still out west, so we were hanging out on Friday nights or Sunday nights and watching it. And I've not been able to get together with him to hang out to watch the final episode.
No way.
It's been almost a year. He moved out in December.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I haven't actually finished it. So I'll have to see if I can dig that up, because I have it. I'm sure I downloaded it.
Peyton, have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. So no spoilers.
I remember why. I was talking about it on TCC and how good it was. Mm-hmm. And Peyton was saying that he did not need any more terrorist apocalyptic bad news shows in his life.
I only avoid that sort of thing. So
yeah, you guys, you were being a wuss.
I really enjoyed. I like how they're bringing us along. It's a little like, oh my God, it's a little Tom Clancy in the way certain things just seem to happen. Yeah. You know, like for the better. But other than that, it's a different concept that I really enjoy. You know, you kind of get into the mind of Claire Danes a little bit there.
Yeah.
And especially at the end, that last wall, the episode 11,
which is
what we both finished watching. And that was pretty crazy. But I'm excited to see where episode 12 goes. But man, oh man, there's a couple scenes, and I don't think it really is going to ruin the show or anything. But there's the one where, you know, him and the wife, you know, they're getting a little, you know, little close. And then he's just like, yeah, it's better if you don't touch me. That scene, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, harsh, right?
She's really uncomfortable with it, and he's into it. But hey, there's no contact, so whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's the diplomat guy that they kind of get off to the side, and they, like, you know, they confront him with his sexual orientation and stuff like that. What he says, he goes, I suck dick, 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 dick. Mmm, yummy, yummy, yummy. And I went, okay. Yeah. I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, this is a very, very strange moments in that show. So yeah, very, very, it's awkward, but it's intense awkward.
Yeah, for sure.
In some ways. But I just, it's funny, like, it's so well acted. Like, Claire Danes does a fantastic job. I really enjoy... what's the guy that plays Nicholas Brody? He was in Band of Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to call him
Danny Lewis.
Yes. Danny Lewis. He is fantastic. Like you,
yeah, he's good.
You are guessing the entire series what is going through his head.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
One
yeah,
minute
yeah.
you think you got it figured out. Next minute, nope, no, you don't. Yeah. You totally have no idea.
Yeah.
No, I really enjoy that. And I will watch Monica Baccarin in just about anything.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the wife.
That's
eh?
His wife, Jessica Brody. Yeah. No, she was in Firefly.
Yes, and she's really pretty, but I think she's the weak link on the acting front.
Oh yeah,
I think her quality of acting, I must be her Josh Whedon tie that I just dislike her.
Oh,
No hate mail.
Yeah. So what else is on the list?
Well, then I got iTunes was putting out that they had that new show Copper.
I saw a bit of that, man. That was freaky.
It was all right. I mean, I really enjoyed Scorsese's Gangs of New York, and it basically takes place at just after the end of that movie. It's kind of like, you know, what's going on in New York. You know, like the budget isn't really quite there that I think it should be, but at the same time, hey, it's one of those, what is it, Showtime or something, one of those AMC or something that does it. So I give them the benefit of the doubt that, you know, they got to give it the free trial run, but I couldn't get into it. It was, the story was almost there, but it was the same chemistry. It was the makeup of the show, like everything they used. For instance, like, oh, there's this guy does this, and oh, this guy learned all kinds of stuff in the war, and he did that. And then there's the race issue that, you know, there's a doctor, but he's black, so they can't take him seriously. To a certain point, and like, it's always the same now. You know what I mean? Like they're
The show is too new to have that strong a formula.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, anyways, and meh. I really don't see me.
The child prostitution thing was a bit rough, but
yes, that was awkward too. Yeah, that was awkward. Yeah. It happened, and you know enough about it.
But kudos to a show to take on an issue like that too, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, there's, you know, stuff like that. I give them points for being brave, but at the same time, if it's not handled right, then they're just being controversial for attention.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, and it's hard. It's a hard line to walk. You know, to
that was one episode.
Yeah.
That was one episode.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I that reminds me, speaking of, you know, issues like that, like racism or other kind of heavier TV show issues that come up. I finished Hell on Wheels.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
I really liked it. Me too. It was different. It's got a lot of traditional Western sort of things going on where it's not necessarily going to end the way that you think it will or want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I was along for the ride, and for the most part, I would recommend it. I think last week I had gone through like, you know, 8 or 9 of the 10 episodes, but I got the completion of the story arc, and I was satisfied with it. Did you finish it, Chad?
Yes, I did. I did finish it. Yeah. Yeah. You know how though they appointed him to be the boss, the walking boss, and all that stuff, and then. You know, and then everything still kind of happens, even though he's not there. And like, oh, he goes off and does this adventure and then comes back to do some more work. And then, oh, he goes back. And they never really, like, focus on the day-to-day. They kind of give it to you in the first couple episodes. And then you just assume that it's normal, you know, go about your business. And he's off on an adventure, like, you know, chasing after something or the guy or the, you know. I enjoyed it. And I'm going to watch the second season when it comes out. But, you know, just... It's the same thing with like Smallville and all these TV shows that they want to keep you along, but they're running out of angles and storylines. So they come with something crazy to throw you off.
The problem with Hell on Wheels is that it was probably planned to be 3 seasons and then it got canceled.
Yes.
So it sort of has that crescendo, but never a climax. Like
it's going to have a second season.
Is it
going to come up? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
I've already seen the preview for it.
Oh, really? I thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was done. So, because that's the thing. Like, it felt done, or it felt like I don't really care what happens now that I know all this.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't really leave it in a. I can't wait to see next season. You know, like it's not like Game of Thrones hanger. You know, like it's a.
Yeah.
It's oh, a. Man. It's a lot. It's a lot different. It's a lot different. So. Right on. Anything else worth mentioning?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. Well, you've been busy.
Yeah. Patriot Games. I watched that. It's classic. Just had to bring that up. One of my favorites as, teenager. I remember I watched that all the time. I don't know why. Just one of my fallback, comfort foods, as it were, for movies. But now it's a fun ride. If you haven't seen it, Patriot Games with Harrison Ford. It's one of Tom Clancy's more non-ridiculous storylines.
Yeah, where I own that one.
Oh, right on. Yeah.
I own Patriot Games.
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger and Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the ones to own if you're going to have them.
Yeah.
But what I do want to talk about is the Civil War. It was a documentary that Ken Burns did, quite a few years ago now, that for PBS. Mm-hmm. And I personally think it's one of the best documentaries ever made. It's the work that he put into it, just finding all the pictures. Like, it's, you keep seeing pictures, new pictures and new pictures. And it documents the war. It's like the first war that was documented by photographs. Mm. You know, there's photographs of everything. People posing, battle scenes, dead bodies, skull and, slaves, just scenery at the time. It's incredible. The music was amazing.
Wow. So this is the American Civil War.
Exactly. It's really well done. I received it for a Christmas gift probably, about 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Got that for a Christmas gift, and it was... It was, one of the things I've watched it quite a few times now. It's so rich, the history involved, because it's letters, actual letters written, diaries, like talking about, people who, just the way they set up the first episode, and it's 12 hours on 4 discs. It's,
wow.
Morgan Freeman narrates for, what's his name, the really important civil rights activist there. Man.
Sorry. Really? History is horrible, especially my American history. So I apologize. I'm not going to be able to help you out with that one. But maybe the chat room can help.
Yeah, maybe.
American civil rights activist during the Civil War. Anybody? Anybody? No. Well, it's all right. We can come back to it.
He's really good. But more like I say, Morgan Freeman's a narrator. Lawrence Fishburne, I think, narrates a little bit. Just... A lot of great people involved in it, and you don't miss anything. It tells the whole story from everything,
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is. I really recommend it.
Cool. Well, I've been taking in a lot of podcasting and stuff lately, and it was MacBreak Weekly. They're talking about the new iPhone.
Okay.
What was of note to me was some of the changes that were coming with the new iPhone and the new iOS and how we're all watching stuff. So one of the things I thought I would ask you guys is that we're all Apple TV owners.
Mm-hmm.
We are all iPhone owners. 2/3 of us have an iPad, which is possibly changing for me. Okay. So... how are you guys watching your stuff? Like, are you watching it directly? Are you guys still on cable a lot? Are you on your iPad more? Are you watching on iPad but airplaying to the TV? Like, how are you guys consuming everything? Because the reason I bring this up is because I feel like some of the content now, or I guess not a lot, but... for the grand scheme of things, some of the content now is changing to be more consumable on smaller devices / mobile devices. Like Guild episodes being 6 minutes, like Felicia Day's The Guild. That new series, was it High Five? No. What's it called? We talked about it last week, Peyton.
Oh, H Plus?
H Plus, thank you. That series is short. And I wanted to know, where do you guys fall? Because I find that I watch a lot of stuff via my iPhone. Like, I don't watch it on the phone. I stream it to the TV because I can and I'm home.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't home and if I didn't have, a data cap, if I had unlimited data on my roaming plan or on my data plan, I would watch it on my phone. Because the stuff that I want to watch is live during times of the day where I could watch it. Okay. And like the other day, I was watching a show, like listening slash watching while I was drawing the comic, and it was on my phone, mm-hmm. which was right next to me on the drawing board. You know, the TV is something that I use to commandeer streams from other devices. Like, I don't often watch anything on the TV unless it's the Apple TV, and that's, again, about the same size as my iPhone, but just kind of meant to put it on a bigger screen. So Chad, how do you watch everything? You find that you're splitting your time? Is it still a lot of TV for you guys, or?
Well, I do Twitter solely on the phone. Okay, so if it comes in through Twitter, I watch it on the phone.
Right.
Okay, that's number one. Because I'm not overly active in Google Plus really at all, I'll use Facebook as an example. If it comes through Facebook, if I'm on the phone. Computer. It's no real big difference. After that, pretty much that's where it stops for me with the phone and the mobile device, unless I'm on vacation or something like that. Most of the time, if I download something and it comes in as AVI, yes, I can convert it and put it to, you know, turn it into iTunes compatible and then AirPlay it on the Apple TV on the big screen, like a TV show or something. But most of the time, I don't care. I'll just watch it on the computer because that's where it is. Yeah. Right. If I'm going to watch a movie that I want to see in 1080p, full surround sound and stuff, well, it's probably going to be a Blu-ray anyway,
right,
for the most part, you know, so, and I'll consume it that way. And sports, for the Super Bowl, I watched it on my phone last year because my wife's not a football fan. Other than that, I'm watching it on my TV in HD, and that's how I consume it. So I don't really care. Like, if I'm downloading something, it's just to get the info and to watch it. I'm not overly concerned. Like, for instance, The Avengers, I'm going to buy the Blu-ray and put it in my collection, and I'm going to watch it the way I think something at the grand scale that it should be consumed on the grand scale. So, like, the bigger, the better. So, for me, it's the phone, like I say, Twitter, computer, TV, for sports and movies. I'm still kind of old school guys in that way. So
right on. Yeah. Peyton, how about you?
I'm not really a downloader. I'm more of a streamer. Like, I'll just, you know, find something here or there. We watch, most of our content will come from Netflix, I guess, because we watch most of the stuff in the day will be, like, you know, for the boy, if he's watching, you know, something, is on the kids part of Netflix because it's commercial free, easy to consume. Some of the stuff we watch off the iPad, like the Master Chef or whatever, like, get one of those comes from City TV, which will like to stream to your Apple TV. So some of the apps actually, you know, prohibit that. Now CTV lets you do that, which is cool, right? Because I guess, you know, if you're going to sit there and watch it, if you're consuming it on your iPad or consuming it on the TV, it doesn't make a big difference. But maybe it's because, you know, one of them is maybe just standard, like you can get CTV without any hookup at all. Maybe it's, you know, City you need to actually hook up to cable to have it. I don't know. Maybe it's the subscription rates might be different. But to go completely cableless and cut the cord completely, you know, will be some stuff we miss, but I'm pretty sure we would probably get past it. I know, like, today Lee was saying, you know, do we really need to have our landline? I'm like, probably not, right? Because, you know, I saw an article the other day that said, I think in Europe, they're saying that within 5 years, there probably won't be any landlines. Like, everyone's going to be moved to, you know, mobile devices because it's just, you know, this everywhere. And the bandwidth is just getting to the point where it's more feasible, right?
So, yeah. So, but I'm going to throw a little wrench into all this. What do you guys think in the future, though, that if there is a natural disaster where we lose certain things, like, you guys realize that, like, the phone line, the hard line, if you have an old-fashioned just plug in the wall phone, and even with a touch tone,
you know,
can still get a conversation or still get help. If you lose a cell tower, you're fucked. Your battery goes dead. You're screwed. And that's where I'm kind of wanting to hold on to the landline just for emergencies.
Yeah,
you know, that's where I'm afraid to cut the cable.
Yeah, you would need to have the old rotary phone with Sparks, right? Our neighbor has one of those. They're great.
Well, that too, but if they can keep the central hub active, and as long as the most of the wires are intact, you can still use a touchtone phone and still get signal. without actual electricity in your house.
Yeah, because I have a touchstone phone here, and I have it because of the hurricane that hit way back in 2000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that was the only way that I could use anything in the house. And that's the only reason I still have my landline. One is to bus people into my apartment because that's how old the building is and that's how it works. But two is because it's bundled into my ISP provider. And so I really don't pay that much for it. It's like 10 bucks a month or something. Like, for the sake of $10, I might as well just have it, right? But I cut the cord a long time ago. And Peyton, having spent a few evenings hanging out with you, you know, in the living room doing whatever, I mean, the crap that we end up watching on TV, and that you and Lee end up surfing through late at night, is just, it's complete garbage television. Like, you guys wouldn't miss cutting the cable at all. The only thing that you'd have to replace, you'd have to be a little bit more on top of maybe Twitter or an app on your phone to get news. You know, like you might want to, like, you'd have to do like a, because that's something that I miss. I mean, case in point, I didn't know anything about Quebec when Chad brought it up earlier this evening, because I don't watch the evening news because I don't have it, you know?
Yeah, but then you can also do something like, I get most of my content now just for like news and just general stuff on my iPad through Flipboard.
Right. See, that's what I mean. Like, so you have to then make Flipboard your habit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how you get your news or stay in touch with certain things, because there are some things that I do miss about having cable, but not many.
Mm-hmm.
Not many. Mm. Right on. So that's an interesting cross section. I was curious because I realized the other day when I was doing it, and it doesn't get old when I have something playing, like a YouTube video playing on my phone, and I want to show it to Jocelyn, and I just AirPlay it to my TV. Yeah. And it takes like 2 seconds. It blows my mind still. Like, yeah, I'm just like, this is freaking cool.
I'm always like, when I'm in the kitchen cooking stuff, I always have the iPad or the phone there, and I, you know, some YouTube video or Netflix is playing on it or something. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. Yeah. Well, I guess we can move into reading, try to get through some of this content. We've got a lot of really good stuff this week, because this is the first time the three of us have been together in a little while.
I think so.
A couple weeks anyway. So Chad, you had something on your, say bookshelf, but it's actually, again, on your iPhone, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's on the iBook app from Apple. You brought this up quite a while ago, I believe, about all the free books that came, they post on, all the old classics for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
I gave The Last of the Mohicans a try, but just really couldn't find a rhythm with the dialogue and with just the writing style. So I went even older of a book, and Bram Stoker's Dracula. Started reading that finally. I've been meaning to read it for a while, and so far I'm probably only about 5% of the way through. But I don't know if you remember the movie with Keanu Reeves in the movie, but you know how he talks through his journal and he narrates a few small sections of the movie through his journal.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's exactly how it started to read so far. And it's really good. And it's so funny because how is Dracula described? Stereotypical Dracula. Pointy, you know, like the hair, the eyes, the ears, pointy ears and stuff. And I was like, wow, this is like so bad, like horrible vampire.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, it's the original vampire.
Yeah. That would be why.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter a while ago was bitching about how Dracula was a ripoff of Twilight. It was really quite funny.
Oh, no. Oh, my heart hurts.
I think that's all people make that shit up, just because they think that people that watch Twilight are morons.
Yeah. Twitards, yeah.
Nice. Who was it? Jim Zub.
He's very Twitter-y.
On Twitter was posting the other day about a blog post that he saw, or a comment thread that he saw, where somebody was complaining about someone's artwork, saying that this page wasn't very, like, page 6 and 7 wasn't laid out very well. There's too many of this and not enough of that. And I could totally do a better job. So, you know, and the next comment was like, so are you hiring right now? Like, what? You just basically trolled this post and insulted the work of whatever, you know, book publisher has been posting, and now you're asking them for a job? Like, sometimes the ignorance just astounds me online when it comes to stuff like that. Twitards, that's awesome. I am totally using that.
Twitards.
Dutard.
Dutard. Nice.
Dutard. Nice.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying to read that because I've had that on my phone for like a year. I'm pretty sure I downloaded it on my way to a Halloween party last year and then never read it. Like I never did. Cause I can't get in the habit of reading on the iPhone. I don't know what it is that's the block for me. I've listened to audiobooks, but I haven't actually gotten in the habit of reading on the phone, and it's lighter than most books. So I don't know what my hang up is. Maybe it's just the screen is too small. I don't know.
Love
but
it.
But speaking of listening to stuff, I actually have a couple things to add to our music section. Speaking of listening to audiobooks and books in general, I've been listening to Making Comics by Jason Brubaker. He is a DreamWorks artist, and he's also a graphic novelist. And most of the stuff that he does on the podcast centers around independent graphic novel people. So it's not quite comic strips, and it's not quite regular comics as most people think of them. So they don't always apply to me directly, but it's really, really in-depth interviews with like Doug Tenable from Earthworm Jim and Cardboard. And I can't remember the guy that draws Axe Cop, but he interviewed both of them over a two-part series. And it was really, really good, really, really insightful. Like, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it in terms of, like, publishing your book, making your book, getting people to back you. Obviously, you know, you can see why I was listening to the show is because I'm trying to, you know, now produce my own book.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really refreshing and reassuring to hear so many people say over and over and over again, if you're going to draw a book, if you're going to draw a comic, if you're going to write anything, it doesn't matter if you're an artist or not. I mean, if you're just writing a story, you should be doing it anyway. Because you can't fake people out. The stuff that you should try to get published is the stuff that you would write in your spare time if the internet didn't exist. Like it should just be stuff that you just have to get out of you and onto a page in some way. Mm-hmm. And everybody that I've seen have a successful fundraising campaign or a book that does well or something that's online that gets a lot of applause. It's all just stuff that they just have to do. You know, they don't necessarily set out to say, all right, here's my plan to make $1 million. I'm going to do this and I'm going to, you know, construct this and do it in all a very specific way. And it's all going to end me at this, you know, $1 million video game that I'm going to make. It's very interesting to see the artistic side of things. Sometimes it gets a little bit, I'm not sure what the word is for it. Cerebral. Like they talk about comics a lot of times, the way that some of the people in fine arts with me would talk about some of their installations.
Okay.
So I get lost there, but that's just me personally. I'm sure there's lots of other people that feel very close to and, what's the word I'm looking for? Expressive through their comic work. Like, I mean, I express myself through Starcross, but I am not trying to send a message or change the world. You know, like, I'm just trying to make people laugh. But what I found really reassuring about the podcast is that I'm trying to make myself laugh. And a lot of times that's what they're saying. Like, you should be doing this stuff for yourself. And I've caught myself a couple times. I'm not sure how narcissistic this is going to sound. But in going through my archives, putting everything and laying everything out into the book, a couple of times when I've been tired and I stop being really productive, I've caught myself just reading my own comics and enjoy, but because there's 150 of the damn things. So I mean, like I get back to them. It's like, I remember this one. This one is pretty fun, you know, like, and I just, it's cool. But at the same time, you kind of immediately catch yourself and go, whoa, should I do this? Isn't this kind of like staring at yourself in the mirror for too long? Like, I don't know. It's a weird feeling, but it was really kind of cool. So for anybody out there that's creative and looking to do any kind of thing, whether it's a podcast or a graphic novel, a comic, a webcomic, you know, even just writing short stories and publishing them online, Making Comics with Jason Brubaker is something definitely worth checking out. Cool. And my second music plug, look at me go, is iTunes Festival, September.
Yeah.
Had no idea that this even existed until I saw it pop up on my Apple TV the other day. It's all free, different concert every night or every other night, all on iTunes for free on the Apple TV. Could not believe it. And they've got some fantastic artists and some indie people. So I'm trying now that I'm working late to try and throw some stuff on and find out when the different concerts are and try to catch some new stuff, because I am horrible at discovering new music. I don't make the effort. So I'm looking forward to the iTunes Festival, which is happening right now. So that's
is there a schedule for the month for that, or is it just pop up?
Yes, there is. Yeah, no, when you turn on your Apple TV, if you maybe rebooted or something, but mine just showed up. I didn't have to reboot.
I've seen it. I haven't looked at it, but I've seen the icon.
Yeah. No, it's totally worth checking out. So. Cool. Well, we have to keep on trucking right here into our email section. I have to start remembering to pause when that happens so that I can hold them all for ransom later. These little plugs. If you'd like to email the show, you can send us a message at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. Please try to keep any MP3 voicemails that you send to about a minute or less if you can. And if you're not feeling overly verbose, you can always just hit us up on Twitter, where you can only send us 140 characters, because that's how it works. And it's at the Citadel Cafe on Twitter. Our email comes to us from Lemel. Hey, all at TCC, I've got another question for you all tonight, and it's about cookies.
Cookies.
And I've got a few questions for all of you about them. Cookies. Do you prefer your cookies to be chewy or hard? Would you like either one giant cookie or a mountain of mini cookies? What type of cookie do you guys like? For myself, I enjoy a chewy chocolate chip cookie with white chocolate chips and prefer to have mini cookies, as you can sneak them away anytime. Well, I hope you all enjoy a cookie tonight. Lemel, P.S. Joel, cookie, cookie, cookie. I think when he asked me if he should write in about cookies, my email response to him was just cookie, cookie, cookie. I've been so busy lately, I don't think I actually took the time to say, yes, Lemel, that would be a great idea. Please write into the show. I was like, nope, just cookie now. So who wants to go first? Peyton?
Sure. all the options he provided, I would be the guy who would eat one giant mountain of giant cookies and expect some more. It's the way I roll. But... you know, on different levels, if I'm going for just a one-off cookie for a little snack, if I'm out of shopping or whatever in the mall, then oatmeal raisin cookie from Subway is pretty good. If I'm going to eat a sleeve of cookies, I'll go with the chocolate and vanilla Girl Scout cookies to come in once a year. My favorite way to eat a cookie is by the bag. And what you do is you get a big pack of pirate peanut butter cookies.
Oh, yeah.
At Christmas time, you get your big 1 liter or 2 liter of eggnog, and you just devour it in front of the TV. And the peanut butter and the eggnog, it goes very well together. It's delicious. It's delicious.
With an eggnog latte at Christmas time with pirate cookies.
Mm-hmm. another thing you might want to try is to get, because you're a big fan of Captain Crunch, right?
Oh, yeah.
Captain Crunch with eggnog.
Yes! Yes.
Next time we see Chad, he won't have a tooth in his head, and a big insulin pump strapped to his hip.
So thick the eggnog, so bloody the mouth. Mm.
Oh, gross!
How about you? What kind of cookies do you like, Chad?
Man, I had a serious love affair with Oreo cookies about 10 years ago.
Yeah?
Like so serious. Oh yeah. So much so that I pushed M&M peanuts out of my life for a little bit. Okay. It took some restraint, but I managed to pull myself out of that destructive relationship because just Oreos, 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 man, all the time. Buy them by the box. I prefer to have lots of little cookies. I don't really care about the big one. Big one's just a weird, relationship that I have. If I'm going to really think about cookies, I'm going to make my own chocolate chip cookie. I use, milk chocolate chips in mine from my aunt Nestelle Toulouse recipe. You remember that Friends episode where they were trying to figure out the best cookie recipe and it was Phoebe's aunt's recipe or whatever?
Oh, right.
And she's like, where'd you get that recipe? Oh, it was from my old great aunt Nestelle Toulouse or whatever. Nestle Tollhouse. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's a really great cookie recipe. It works really, really well.
Nice.
I use milk chocolate chips instead, but nice and soft and everything's great. But Peyton, man, you nailed it on the head of the nail with pirate cookies.
Yeah.
If I'm going to eat a whole sleeve or a whole box, it's pirate cookies are awesome. Big glass of milk.
What's in a pirate cookie?
Peanut butter.
Well, I got that part.
It's like a peanut butter Oreo.
Oh, okay.
But it's oatmeal. It's like an oatmeal cookie, but like a manufactured oatmeal cookie on the outside, smooshed with peanut butter inside.
All right. And I'll keep up.
Nice peak freen from time to time as well, like a fruit cream one or some of the other ones that they put out. They do really good cookies. I love cookies, man. Cookies. Wow.
You guys are lots of store bought stuff in there.
I make my own.
No, I know, but I just I never even thought about store bought cookies like Oreos, which I like. I went straight in my head to the homemade chocolate chip cookie. I use bittersweet chocolate chips when I make mine. And I have this recipe that I found online, and it's like the simplest recipe you could possibly think of. It makes a nice, chewy chocolate chip cookie. Not too big, not too small. It's about the size of a hockey puck when it's all done. They say it makes 24. I call them liars. It makes 15 at best. I mean, cookies were, you know, really tiny, I guess, when they made these recipes up, because the ones that I make are not that small. I make them with it's about the size of a golf ball, the batter, when it goes onto the pan. And I use real butter in mine, which makes them that much better. Yep. My mom, growing up, always used margarine. Well, it was fine, but I mean, you can tell when you actually have a cookie that has been made with butter.
Don't melt the butter. That is the key.
No,
never
it
melt the
melts.
Butter.
No,
soft?
It melts, yeah, but it melts in the oven.
Soft, not melted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there's no microwave involved in making chocolate chip cookies ever. No. Ever. If there is, you're doing it wrong. I would probably prefer a mountain of cookies. I don't like the big ones. Like the ones, like there's a cafe in town here, 2 of Paisie, and they make everything huge. It's the giant croissant that you cannot finish. It's the giant chocolate chip cookie that is an inch thick and 6 inches across. That's not a cookie. That's a batch of cookies thinly veiled as a dinner plate. So I prefer just my regular size cookies. I will eat, you know, anywhere between 1, 2, or maybe 8, you know, in a sitting with a cup of coffee. I used to be a milk guy. I am now a coffee and chocolate chip cookie
at 10 o'clock at night, though. If you're gonna eat cookies, you're gonna have a cup of coffee.
No, but I don't generally eat cookies at 10 o'clock at night. My cookies are always an afternoon thing.
At you, the adult.
Yeah.
With your tea.
No tea. Who wants to eat tea? Tastes like leaves. Screw that. No, I like my afternoon coffee
drink
with a
tea.
Couple of cookies.
That's one thing you're doing wrong.
Yeah, well. I mean, there's only one kind of tea that I like. It's chai tea, and I have to be sick before I can even stomach it. It's usually because my body just doesn't want coffee, because you've got a fever or something, and or whatever. I just cannot do tea. I've tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed. But this isn't the tea email or the coffee email. This is the email. So yeah, I think that wraps up my quick answer. Did I answer all the questions? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Chewy.
What's next?
Giant.
I'm excited for the next email that we get that discusses a food type.
Things wrapped in bacon. Discuss.
Dill pickles soaked in maple syrup on the barbecue. Things wrapped in bacon. Hands down, awesome.
Take your word for that, sir.
Blew. Oh, no. You've got to try it. No. Soak, wrap a pickle in bacon, and then soak it in maple syrup, and then put it on the barbecue.
I've heard of wrapping figs in bacon and barbecuing them.
You can wrap anything in bacon. You can wrap your life in bacon.
Next week on TCC, Chad's bacon blanket.
How did Chad die? Happy.
Like a stuck pig. Oh, boy.
Third-degree blisters all over his body.
Then there's a way I don't want to die. Bacon. Yeah. Mm. No, bacon should never be used to kill people. That's sacrilege. The Internet Minute this week is how we're going to wrap up the bacon cookie show.
Great segue.
Yep, like a freight train.
Yeah.
Smoke them while you got them. And I have yet another music pick. Look at me with my music pick this week. This is a mashup Gundam style video from Mashable. And I don't know why I picked this. It came at the right time during a stressful afternoon, and I watched it, and it's got some classic clubbing songs that I remember from, I want to say 10 to 14 years ago. Worth listening all the way through. If you graduated high school kind of like the end of the last century, then you should really check out this video. Plus, it's got some funny moments in it. And I really enjoyed it. And it is going into the chat room right now. But if you just do a search for Epic Gundam Style Mashup on Mashable.com, you will find it for sure. Cool. Mr. Francis, what is your pick this week?
I have a couple here. There's one of Bert and Ernie in real life cosplay at Dragon Con. And it is twisted. It's so gross.
Oh my God.
So we'll throw that in the chat room.
How did he find the shirt material? That's awesome.
Yeah.
The Bert shirt is bang on.
That's wicked.
Yeah, so that's funny. Hang on a sec. I'll copy that over and throw that in there. There's Joel out there. Yeah, so that's worth checking out. The other one is some toys from Tomopop. Basically, it's a bunch of Game of Thrones little QT characters, you know. They'll pass over to how we get season 3 next year. And one of the many things
Tomopop.
That will...
Is that like the little big head thing?
Yeah. I think you have a couple of them there. Joss has a couple there.
Oh, we've got, she's got stuffed...
Star Wars ones in the
Star
same
Wars
sort of style.
On the bookshelf. There's one, it's a Stormtrooper, and the other one is a little Gandalf.
Yeah, and these are vinyl, I believe, so...
Okay.
And,
I've never understood the whole vinyl toy craze. I mean, I know it's huge, but I don't get it.
I've got a couple of some. They're kind of fun. I guess it's just, you know...
I don't judge anybody that buys them. I just, I've never understood it. It's like shelf porn.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? The they're not to scale because the Tyrion Lannister looks to be about the same size as the White Walker. So.
No, yeah, they're all just kind of big head models. Well, see, and a lot of them are like the same. Some of them have got custom pieces, but a lot of them are like the same body, just with like a different paint job or something.
Yeah. It's customed up, you know. Because of paint jobs, whatever. Just cool. Well, you know. Then you've got the other things that you've got the cat woman that came out this week, which is pretty sweet looking and all that stuff. And anyway,
cool.
Yeah, and then that one's gonna run about $200, right? So the same people did the Dark Knight and Bane and all those. Anyway,
cool.
I'll send a link to you guys later on those. And the other thing is you mentioned Twilight again earlier. I've never seen the series. I've just never been able to bring myself to sit down and slowly destroy the brain cells like that. It doesn't seem like something that anyone should do to themselves. But I did see a clip today that actually makes it a little more palatable. A group called Bad Lip Reading. Okay. And they've taken a bunch of clips from Twilight. And they've put their own dialogue over it, and it looks like they're actually saying it. And it's quite funny. They have a big argument about her eating his last piece of cake, and it's the best thing he's ever made and stuff. And it's pretty silly, right?
Nice.
Yeah, she's, you know, at one point, Belle is talking about spitting on her brother. Anyway, he's like, that's gross. So you're an idiot. It's really... Yeah, no, it's you know, mildly amusing. It's like, okay, that's... I've seen Twilight. That's fine. The 2 minutes right there. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's many other things on the interweb we missed, but what have you managed to drag up from the depths of the World Wide Web, Chad?
The Nest Learning Thermostat.
I love these.
Like, seriously, how old am I to want a thermostat for my house?
Yeah.
But like, it's a little crotch pot cooking.
Yeah.
I'm lost already. It connects to your wireless network, and you can control it with your iPhone, iPad, your Mac. It turns itself down when your house is empty. It creates its own personalized schedule, like, you know, so easy. It knows when to turn your AC on and then turn the heat on. You know, it knows what causes energy spikes in your house. It's awesome. Like, auto scheduling. It knows your history, and it's compatible with so much stuff.
It probably knows when, based on your iPhone, it knows when you're in the house and when you're not, and sets up from that. So if someone ever hacks it, they know when you're home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that and too, I guess. Yeah.
At $250, does it cover your entire house, like all of them, or is it per room?
Well, See, I have a central, like, sorry, I'm not electric, like, you know.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
So I use natural gas in my furnace, so, oh, okay. I have one thermostat in a central location in the house, so that's awesome. What it would be more for, like, that. So, but if you had electric baseboards in, like, every room of your house with a separate thermostat, that would be kind of, like, an expensive issue.
Yeah. There was actually, I don't remember who it was. Somebody on a podcast had said that they had just installed two of these and they couldn't believe how easy it was to actually install.
Yeah.
And I think what it was that they just had a large enough house that they basically had an upstairs and a downstairs.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think their upstairs was like central heating. It had like forced air. But then downstairs was electric because they had like a finished basement.
Okay.
So they did one for each room or each level, and that's how it was controlled. I don't know whether it goes by like square footage as to whether you need more than one or whether you just have to decide what kind of needs that you want.
Well, it depends on your house. Like your house is going to be set up guaranteed for that already.
Yeah.
So you just have to install these where you need it. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is it just goes right where your normal thermostat goes.
Yep.
You know, I think they're brilliant, and they are an example of a successful Kickstarter campaign.
No way.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that this was a Kickstarter way back when it first came, when you started hearing news about Kickstarters. I feel like this was one of those things.
I'd
have to fact check that, but I'm pretty sure that my copious amounts of tech news that I've ingested over the last 2 years is not for naught. I think I've retained at least something. So yeah, those are all really cool picks. I really enjoy the Bert and Ernie. That's kind of odd. In a very cool way.
Yeah, very odd.
Well, that wraps up this episode of The Citadel Cafe. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can find the blog at thecitadelcafe.com. All of our show notes are there. They are written by the lovely Jocelyn Moffat of the Gamers Inn podcast, which is coming your way shortly this evening, probably in, say, about 25 minutes. The Gamers Inn podcast is at gamersinpodcast.com. You can join Jocelyn and Ryan as they talk about different video games that they've been playing. Jocelyn has been playing a lot of WoW, and they're also doing a countdown to Halo 4. So it's all very cool stuff leading up to the new game coming out this fall. Social, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ as The Citadel Cafe, all lowercase, one word. And our email, as I mentioned earlier, is thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. We do not have any iTunes reviews this week, but if you are so inclined, please go forth and leave us one on the iTunes store. It's one of the best ways for the podcast to reach new listeners. And if you like us, give us a rating, leaving a review, and we might share your thoughts right here on the next episode. It's called a shout-out, people. Love to do it. Can't do it without an iTunes review. Go, go, go. Woohoo! that's kind of it. For me, my name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I want to do and am striving to do recently at starcrossedonline.com, and you can bet your butt that there's going to be lots of news about the Indiegogo Starcrossed Volume 1 book coming your way later this week right on starcrossedonline.com. You'll be able to find all of the ways to get to that via the blog, my Twitter, and Google+, which is just my name, Joel Duggan. Peyton, where can people find you online?
My website, cardboardtreehouse.com, Twitter at Peyton Francis, P-A-T-O-N, and if you Google me, you'll find me. Chad, how about you? Where can people find you?
You cannot find me lactating to the east. However, you can find me on Twitter at Chad Merlin.
Yeah, okay. What are you talking about, Chad?
That's called a callback. I learned that. I am smart. You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, cheap, easy. I got it backwards, but you can only pick two. Chat room, thanks so much for stopping by. We have to clear the way for the Gamers Inn. So just march right on over to the Gamers Inn. I bet you Ryan's got the music going already, unless he's still in the chat room. He's still in the chat room. Ryan. Entertain these people, damn it. Start the music. Open Gundam style.
Gamers Inn.